All right, let's move in exposition as we continue our journey in scriptural comprehension of measures, the matrix. Everybody say the matrix. Take your document, and today we shall move. I think we're around page 6 in our document. Page 7. Top of page 7. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Today, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Now, right now, I'm going to tell you this session is going to be more of a didactic, a teaching forum. God's people need teaching. There are too many things that are coming out in to the manifested stage as far as the challenges of our lives are concerned. Many things that are challenging us. Many things that are causing us to be paralyzed with fear and trepidation. We're not a settled people. I'm talking about God's people, and I'm not talking about the world. We're not settled. We're not secure. We're not confident. And so we're not at peace. Too many of us are on the roller coaster ride, going through the world and all of its ups and downs, and that's not where we are. Deacon Gavin was reading a minute ago from the pastor's pen. Al Stratum and sphere is the eternal now. Everybody said the eternal now. Eternity is now. And in eternity there is security. In eternity there is peace. Even though as we look around us in life, or in the matrix, there are the turrets, time manifestations, sequencing uncertainty. This is not where we abide. We abide in those that are securely entrenched, having been son position in the body of Christ. We're in the body of Christ now. With all that is going on in the world, all that is seemingly threatening us, we are secure. We're safe. Otherwise, we have no business walking around here talking about we're saved. Saved means safe. And if we're not safe, what's the point of going around saying we're saved? Our salvation is not in what is going on around us. You turn on the news and actually it could ruin your day if you allow it to. In fact, it doesn't make news unless it's bad news. But our lot is not the roller coaster ride of what is manifesting and what we observe in the matrix. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Like I said, we're going to do a little teaching this morning. And of course, you know, as soon as you said teaching to some people, that means boring. Oh, my God. A good dose of understanding is the best antidote for being bored. What we understand, we're interested in. What we don't understand, we seem to avoid. And we call it boring. Elder, as we look into this passage, Ephesians and Colossians are very unique epistles. As well as Philippians, they were written from prison. Here's a man who is in prison, in a jail cell, if you will. But he's not trapped in the mindset that that jail cell is microcosm. It is not his world. What is going on there is not dominating him to the point that he feels like his world is entrenched in what some would call his immediate problem. And Paul didn't count it as a problem. This is what knowledge does to you. It takes you out of the trenches of despair, and it elevates you to the essence of the light. He wasn't concerned about what they were doing. They were plotting to kill him. But he wasn't concerned about that. His concern was for the saints. And here he is. They should have been praying and concerned for him, and he's sitting in there in the midst of the challenges, and he's praying and he's concerned for them. And he starts the epistle off. He says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord, not of the jail cell. I'm locked in, but it's not about the essence of this small microcosm. My little world is not this jail cell. Our world is not this earth. My world is not this universe. Our life is about Christ. Because before I was ever encapsulated in flesh and placed in the time, I was some position in the body of Christ. And that's where I abide. This is what the Word of God is conveying to us. But there's a methodology and there's a process of learning and understanding. Of course, you can't appreciate what you don't understand. First thing about appreciating God is to understand. Understanding, that is the key. We don't put too much credence on the things of God because we don't understand them. Now in this third verse, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. On behalf of you, the nations, I'm here, what is locked into, has been thrust rather, into the matrix for testimony is for your sake. In other words, you're going to get the benefit of me being in this jail cell.
That's right, man. That's what he's saying. That's like, amen. Oh,
hey. And he moves on down, and he, of course, we don't have time this morning. He speaks about the dispensation of the grace of God. And we have spent so much time so that those at least that are here and those that are watching that follow this ministry, you will understand what dispensation you're in. We're in the dispensation of grace. That means our covenant is the grace covenant. That is the message. This is where our instructions are directed, are drawn from. This is where our mindsets are drawn to be formed from the information that is in the grace covenant to the grace church in the grace dispensation.
Thank God. Yes, man. Glory. Oh, yes.
So we move on down in the 11th verse. That is, I'm going to skip the 10th because that would just take up the rest of the hour. But he said, according to eternal purpose. Everybody say eternal purpose.
Eternal purpose.
Everybody understand that trumps anything that's going on around you.
Hallelujah.
Eternal purpose,
mm-hmm,
and eternal intent.
Mm-hmm.
What God, we're so busy thinking about what we're doing, mm-hmm, nobody's, not, I shouldn't say nobody, but not too many are stopping to cast any reflection on what God is doing. What is more important, what I'm doing or what God is doing?
I hear you. Amen.
So he purposed these things in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have access to them according to verse 12. And this is the cause that God has put him into the ministry. He gave Paul the revelation of that which was hidden from ages. Verse 16, he said, this is for the purpose of you being strengthened, that he would grant you strength in the inner man. Here's our problem is we don't understand the difference between the outer man and the inner man. The outer man is who I am in the flesh. The inner man is who I am in Christ. Which man is the most important man? Huh? The surviving man. Huh? Which is who I am in Christ. No! They're not going to stand in the pulpit and teach this because it's too boring. I want to hear how to get my bills paid. Well, I hope you get your bills paid. Oh my God. Oh, God, help us, lift us above our everyday surroundings. And in the 17th verse, he speaks of Christ may dwell, heaven dwell. He speaks of the instantaneous aspect, what the knowledge of Christ does. It places you in the eternal realm above the matrix, above the surroundings, that you haven't been rooted and haven't been grounded. When were you rooted? In eternity. When were you grounded? In eternity. Amen. We're sitting in the most favorable position, and here we're sitting here tearing up our hair about a bill.
I hear you.
My friend, as long as you're alive, you're going to have some bills. As long as you're alive, you're going to have some problems, some pain.
Amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some troubles in this world.
Amen.
But this is not the life. Our hope is in eternal life,
mm-hmm,
not in the things that are around us.
Thank God.
So our happiness, our confidence, should be drawn more from who we are in him than who we are in these bodies and what's going on around us. All right, Elder, read verse 18.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse.
Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Let's pay close attention today. We're into teaching mode. Everybody say, we're into teaching mode. All right. Okay, this is about coming out of here with some understanding. You know what? Sometimes people come and say, I really enjoyed that. Well, I appreciate that. But did you understand? Amen. I wonder sometimes, you know, because I could stand up here and entertain you. And, of course, you would enjoy it because the flesh has a proclivity to resonate with the things that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And especially if I'm charming and if I'm entertaining, you're going to enjoy it. Amen. But that's not going to help you this week. Amen. When you face the problem that comes and smacks you dead in the face. So we're more concerned is, what did you learn? Even if you didn't enjoy it, did you learn something? Read.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
Go ahead and read verse 19.
Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Oh, let's hurry up and get to the Greek. Read.
Ephesians chapter 3, 18th verse in the interlinear Greek. In order that ye may have strength.
No, stop. Stop. Brother Deacon, get your Greek interlinear. And it's a, Pastor, why do we exegete? Well, we exegete because we stop, and even when we go through the interlinear, of course, he's concerned about what his colleagues are thinking.
Right.
And basically, nobody likes to be isolated. No one likes to be so far-fetched and off the chart that you're non-conventional. Unconventional. No, we don't like that. You know that to be isolated is not a good feeling. You know, we want to be accepted. We want to be well thought of. We want to be in the in crowd, and whatever they're saying to us, and whatever that entails, I should say, it's easier to float downstream. A dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to go up against the current.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I want you to look at that word. Brother Deacon, you got your all right. Read that very slowly again, Elder. And when I say stop, stop. Because what we're going to do at that point is we're going to challenge. We're not trying to be, not trying to be impertinent. That's not a thing. Is not to stand up here and be argumentative, to be confrontational, and so forth and so on. Now, we're here to speak the truth in love.
That's it.
Speak the truth in love. In love. And basically, read that slowly again.
Ephesians chapter 3, with the 18th verse in the interlinear Greek. In order that ye may have strength to apprehend.
Stop. That's not what Paul said. The first verb there is elzikleisithen. What is that verb, Deacon? That is a what? That is a subjunctive aorist. What is the subjunctive? Just follow. Because otherwise we're going to be led by what is said here and miss out on something that's greater.
That's right.
Read. I mean, what is the subjunctive mood?
Probability.
It's a probability. He said it is a subjunctive aorist. What is the aorist tense? It's a completed action. So we have a completed probability. Mm-hmm. We have a completed probability. Mm-hmm. We have a completed probability of strength. Now the subjunctive mood there is speaking of the manifested sense of whether that has occurred and whether you have come to understand this or not. But it is controlled by the completed aspect of what is there. Now here in this construction, you have two verbs. The first one we just explained as ecclesiae. It is a subjunctive aorist, and then the next verb right next to it. It's katalaveste. What is that, Brother Deacon?
An aorist infinitive.
That is an aorist infinitive. What is an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
It's a verb and noun. What's a verb? The action word. What is a noun? Name of person, place of thing. So here it is translated comprehend.
Yes.
Now what happens in the English is when we translate that, and the way we handle infinitives in the English is we put two in front of it. To do, to say, to be. But that gives an inference of the future, of something that has not occurred. Here this is in the aorist tense. So when you hook those aorist tense up together, those two verbs, comprehend, it speaks of that which has already occurred. Now here's what Paul is saying. Those that are will comprehend this are those that the Holy Spirit has empowered to comprehend. Well, I don't know whether that's me or not. Well, you're sitting here right now, aren't you? You're sitting where it is being taught.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes, sir.
And of course, again, as God gives the understanding and the comprehension, it empowers you. It empowers you to get out of the terrain of time and operate in the glory of eternality. It empowers you to be while you're in the world, not of the world. It empowers you to walk in the essence of the glory of what God has already done for you, rather than be held prisoner to the entropies of time. Entropies, disorders, to the disorders of time, to the disorders of what's hanging out there in the matrix. And there's some things that frighten us. There's enough went down in the news just this week to just wipe out all hope. If that's what you're looking at. If that's what you see, and all you see see your problems and your troubles and the things that are challenging you, where's the hope? Here, this takes us above that. And yes, you can understand, you will understand, according as how God has decreed. And he gives different degrees of understanding. But my job is to preach it. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach it. And as God has prearranged, you will understand it. It has nothing to do with education. Some of the, as it deals with spirituality, some of the most educated people secularly are the dumbest people spiritually.
That's right.
Finish up. Oh my God.
Okay. Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
In order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth.
Now see, you got four dimensions there, and you said, well, there are only three dimensions here. Well, you got to separate the spiritual from the physical, which we'll do in a minute. But I want to get that 19th verse in there. Read.
Verse 19. And to know...
Stop. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Aorist.
Aorist. That's an aorist infinitive. To know, having known. In other words, the goal is the word of God have recourse to cause those whom God, through the Holy Spirit, gives the insight to comprehend. That's what it's about. Paul was not under any illusion that what he was saying was going to be understood by everybody. And this is, we get back to that verse over there in exegesis in the 18th verse here. It said, well, it said with all the saints. Yeah, read that in the Greek. That word for all there doesn't have what? Doesn't have a definite article. So that means each and every of a kind. That within the saints, some will understand and some won't. But just because some don't understand, Paul said on one occasion, what if some don't believe? What does that mean? What is, regardless of who understands and who doesn't understand. Right. Thank God it is. And you know what? It works to our benefit even if we don't understand. What God has done works to our benefit even though we don't understand. You got the benefit. You know, you read, some of y'all have these contracts and employment. A lot of stuff in it, you say, well, I don't understand this, but it's for you, because some of that could be against you too. But in this, all of this is for you. Everything that's in the grace contract is for you, not against you. Everything that God has laid out is for your benefit, not for your detriment. Read. So to know, having known what?
Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may...
Stop. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Aorist
subjunctive, passive. You may be, haven't been, filled. And thank God, this one is strong. What are you filled with? Read.
May be filled to all the fullness of God.
The fullness of God. You are complete in him. If the whole nation implodes, you are complete in him. You're filled. If the entire globe just the sinners. You are complete in Him. If the universe is annihilated, say, Pastor, you're crazy. No. You are complete in Him. We're safe. Everybody say we're safe. That preacher's crazy. Now, these are the ingressions that we must take, and here we're going to go through a little exercise here. Let's go to the top of page 7. Oh, look at that time. We're going to run just a little over this morning, not too much. Page 7 of your document. For those who are watching through the webcast, again, you go into audio section, and there's an icon there that you click on, and this document, Scripture Comprehension of the Matrix, of Measures, that is the Matrix, it comes up. This is in our manual, page 7, but it is entitled here, The Physical Secular's Misconstrued Functionality of Measures. Did I miss a page? Yes, I did. I said at the beginning, page 6. I should have stuck with that. Page 6. We don't, you know what? No use to go into page 7. We haven't gone through page 6. So, Pastor, this document has 50 pages in it. I don't care about that. So, when do we get to page 50? Don't you worry about page 50 right now. Let's concentrate on page 6. And so what is the Scriptures versus physical secular designation of measure, the matrix? Amen. Now we're on the right page. Page 6, the top, everybody got to say amen. Again, those that are watching, if you hit on that icon, this document will come up, and you turn around the 6th page, but what we had subtopically here is, what is the Scriptures versus physical secular designation of measures, the matrix? In other words, how do we look at this thing both scripturally and physically? What is the distinction of looking at them physically and then secularly, and then as conversely, what do we see when we look at them through the Scriptures? In other words, here we're looking at the matrix, what we call matrix viewing, a time viewing, or what we call life viewing, how we view life, and then we juxtapose that with what the Scriptures say. So now what we are comparing is what we see with what God is saying. And let's see which one through teaching makes sense, because they paradoxical, they oppose each other. So that means that one of them is the real deal and the other one is hogwash. So what is the real deal here? What you see or what God has said? Everybody got to say amen. Amen. Other dissemination of occurrences and measures significantly outlays the sequence manifestation of what seemingly transpires. Again, from last week, we have the noun metron, which means measures. Then I want you to skip down and you see polis. See, fast forwarding here. Means much. It speaks of amount. So what's in there and how much is in there is based upon the fact of God's purpose in having put it there. Then remember last week we dealt in the second paragraph, categorization wise. We dealt with the matrix in relationship to what is depicted through persons, characters, organizations, and how these things are produced and manifestation-wise, how events and objects are viewed, how they are arrayed in patterns and non-patterns, remember from last week. And what we come out with, because we're looking at this thing strictly through physicality, is we see very unstable terrain, very unstable, insecure. That's what we get out. We see all of these propositions of what could happen, and most of them frighten us to death. We live from day to day worried about what might happen. And so in this we get all of these confusing compilations. And from last week, the immeasurable and unmeasurable things are what? The eternal things that reside above that which we can't even approach. In fact, to say that we have any control of that. But then when we look into the matrix and we deal, we see the essence of measures that were placed there for purpose, according to the saying of God. And so, this comprehension, and this is where we left off last week, this comprehension certifies that all measures are in the format of limitedness for the exclusive purpose of manifestations and testimonials. Where's all this going? To the ultimate praise and glory of God. Everybody say, to the ultimate praise and glory of God. All that you're going through. Now, I can't see that. I wish he'd do it another way. Who's running the universe?
God.
Let's go to the top of page 7. Here we look at the physical, secular, misconstrued functionality of measures, the matrix. In other words, we're strictly looking at things now. We're down, standing in it, standing in the middle of, in the midst of it, looking around at it. And this is why everything is tentative. This is what keeps us up at night.
Yes, sir. Bring it out, sir.
This is what causes us to walk by fear instead of faith. Because what we see is not too enterprising, is it? Follow this. Everybody got it, amen?
Amen.
When it is mechanized in physicality, secularity forums, the matrix is a mold utilized in stereotyping, design impressions, and types of illustrations from which human mental poles are imaginatively casted as plated topologies. So what are we saying? The pastor, man, you have to, why don't you just follow? Listen to this. What's the stereotype? That's the stigma that we put on something. Huh? It could be correct, but it could be incorrect. And here we use the word imaginatively, because this is what it is. This is our imagination. And someone once said, imagination is the lioness nation in the world. That thing will fool you. But it's casted, it's set in stone, and it looks like that's essence of what real life is. Real life is not what you see. I don't understand this preacher. This thing is wearing me out. This thing has got me locked. My stomach is in butterflies. I can't sleep at night. I got these migraine headaches. Because I got all this pressure on me. What it is, you have made where you are. As far as your mind and your conscience situated on the matrix, you have made that your microcosm.
Oh my God. Oh,
that's all the world that is.
Uh-huh.
The world is all I see and all I'm doing and what I'm involved in. Play the typologies. That thing is set and cast, and it seems so real. Until I'm stuck in it. And I can't go any further until my change comes. You know the old joke thing, I'm going to wait till my change comes. That's why we say stay out of the Old Testament for doctrine.
Uh-huh.
Where you really are is in Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Who you really are, a son of God, heir of God,
yeah.
Heir of that which belongs to Christ.
All of it.
And is grafted and set in tight as what you seem to be going through seem to you to be, that is not the real deal.
Amen.
Whatever it is, listen to me. Whatever your problem is, time will take care of it.
Come on, hallelujah.
Because you're moving from one frame to the next frame and the next frame, and somewhere down there, that thing is gone. Deacon Gavin was reading from this morning in the pastor's pen, you know, even if it's a debilitating sickness and illness, somewhere down the line that thing is gone. Even if that means that your conscience is you're out of the matrix, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's past. This pastor is crazy. It's past. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay here. It came to pass. We're going to try to get through this paragraph anyway. These plated significations are the graph duplicated impressions in matrices. And so from the Latin we get the word matrix. Matrix, which conveys breeding. Here from the Latin again, mater, a matrix, mother, the originating source. That's not true. That nothing originates in the matrix. Whatever that thing is, its origin is not in the matrix. It was placed there. What's in the matrix? Nothing. Yeah, light for manifestation. But that's placed there. And we're moving through not time, but we're moving to time-space frames. There are trillions upon trillions of them that are tied to nanoseconds.
Mm-hmm.
And each nanosecond has a frame in it. And all that's in the universe is on that frame.
All right.
But you're moving through it.
All
right.
Come on.
I like the song the old people used to sing. I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. Trouble don't last always. We're moving through it. And remember, everything that's there is for testimony's sake.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Follow this. Navigations in such of the definitive uses of magic illusions are instilled, yet they're merely mirrored in reference to persons, characters, and occurrences. We're looking in a mirror.
Oh.
Now look at this analogy. Oh. The real deal is the actualized essence that's standing in the mirror. That's what's actualized in God's word in eternity.
Right.
What's reflectedly is in the mirror is the light for the sake a testimony. Not because we're in the terrain of time and we're in the terrain of physicality and we're in the pre-creation that God subjected to depravity. There are flaws in the mirror. It's either bent a stretched, you know, you've been in the glass house, right?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
And so how the light is hidden and how the mirror is shaped, it gives the impression of what's in there. This is what we're seeing. So what you see is really not what it is.
Oh, my.
To know what it is, you have to go to the essence. Of what is and what is what's actualized. And what's actualized is what God has decreed. And what should help us out is that the mirror is powerless.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You can't reach in the mirror to change anything.
No.
To stop it. Like, you're there. Oh, yeah. You hear that from the politicians. Put me in office. I'll straighten this thing out. But a fool. How's that thing going down? Going down the way that God has decreed it for purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Now, our time is gone, but next week we're going to go back to that 18th verse. We're going to deal with those dimensions. We're going to deal with time, space, frames. I said, Pastor, why are we getting so technical here? No. What we're doing is we're going to open our eyes and see how this thing really is.
I hear you. Come on.
So that we can relax a little bit.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to see how it is so that it won't frighten us to death.
Yeah.
Ruin our day.
Mm-hmm.
Make us miserable.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see what it is. Because once you know what it is, it takes the fear away. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. Even to find out what a sickness is, it takes some of the pressure off to know what it is. If something is wrong with you and you don't know what it is, that's more stressful than once you find out what it is, even if it's bad news, at least you know what it is.
Amen.
Huh? But see, once you see this, it's not bad news, it's good news. You don't put too much credence in that time frame.
Right.
It's there for a reason.
I hear you.
And the essence of where you're going, far, 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 extends and transcends above what I see. What I see is only for a moment. What God has said is forever. Oh, God. Organizations are what are produced, and I'm going to start here next week, come back again. Organizations are what are produced and manifestation describe depositions over time arrayed analysis. Such imbue residues for analysis, discerning between their imaginative and resourceful deposits. We imagine that it's one thing,
yeah,
and it's another. You know the old story of Joseph said to his brother, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You think that thing came there to kill you, and it came there to cure you.
I hear you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You think it came there to wipe you out, and it came there to make you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the faith. It's for you, not against you. Regardless how it looks, it's for you. Thus, these isolations imaginatively engage many-phased solids, wherein induced impulses are embedded. These multi-types of various misinformations, that mirror is a resounding source of misinformation. Your eyes can be your greatest source of misinformation.
I hear you.
The exchange in databases, and I'm coming back to this next week, intermediaries in which composite material entropies of disorders are engraved. Why are the disorders engraved? That eighth chapter of Romans. Who subjected it?
Right.
Who subjected it?
God.
God subjected it. For what reason? For purpose. It all comes out in hope. Mm-hmm. It was subjected in hope.
Yes.
It was subjected in hope. In other words, regardless of the situation, the essence of life is above what the entropies of life are.
Right.
It's about purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Consequently, nothing can be reliably presented as design or will in this stratum. Mm-hmm. Now, what are we trying to do here? We're trying to take away the dynamic force and impact of what you're encountering on a daily basis.
Amen.
And for us to see that He who is in us, He's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than He who is in the world. That we, as His beloved, who have been called to love Him.
That's right.
I'll come back next week.
That's right.
Have been called to love Him.
Yes.
That He, God, worketh the thing for us instead of against us.
Oh, glory.
I like how Paul, in some weeks down the line, we'll get into that. How he puts it, he said, I'm persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
What has persuaded you, Paul? Scriptural eternal viewing. That nothing, that is nothing in the matrix, can separate me from the love of God. Then he goes through a litany of things. Death, life, principalities, Paul was the beginning, the end. Whatever is going on, amen, it's the bottom line. And if there is something I missed, oh my God, any other thing that can show up in the matrix, oh my God, whatever it is, the bottom line is nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm an heir of God, son of God. Woo, hallelujah. Heir of that which belongs to Christ. Oh my God, I'm gonna quit. I'll see you next week.
Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God.